One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is Goop Yourself, the podcast where we talk about everything Goop. I'm Brian Rucker, and I am hungry. I'm going to say
God. I'm Agnes Hewitt.
Do you have an adjective to describe yourself right now?
I am wishing I poured a glass of wine before we started. It is 5:30 here. And it is dark. It is pitch black outside.
I can't deal with the time change. This whole week has been fucked up emotionally. I haven't been able to sleep very well. It'll be better. It gets dark before 5 in New York now, right?
Oh yeah, it was like nighttime at 4:30.
That's so crazy.
It's insane. But you know, it is what it is. It's just like, it's depressing. But maybe that's why people are like, oh, the nightlife in New York is so great, because like it just gets dark early and they're like, oh, stuff is open so late.
Well, I think you have to make the darkness a part of your life in a way that like, or you would just like be sleeping like 14 hours a day.
It's just funny because they're like, it's the city that never sleeps. And then you're like, every single restaurant closes at like 10. Last weekend we went to a Chinese restaurant that closed at 10. We got there at 9:15 and they were like yelling at us, and they were like, you have to be really quick because we're closing soon. It was very European.
That seems like a post-pandemic thing.
Maybe.
Why were you eating so late anyway?
Because it was after we saw Priscilla.
Oh, okay.
And but there was an old man sitting next to me watching gay porn on his phone, eating like a Chinese banquet by himself. So,
that sounds,
you know,
so good.
So I felt like that was like a pre-pandemic thing.
Wait, what restaurant was it?
It was called, it was on the Upper East Side, on the Upper West Side. I don't remember what it was called. It was just like a place by the movie theater. Yeah.
Is it, I don't know if it still exists, but there was a place, I think, called The Cottage on
Where it was.
Oh,
it was
does it free wine, or is that they just don't do that anymore?
Know.
It used to be free unlimited wine at The Cottage.
Well, he was drinking wine, the man next to me. Yeah,
but you guys weren't drinking free unlimited wine.
I was drinking a not free Diet Coke.
Because that was like the place. I want to say they also like didn't check IDs. I knew all the places that you could do underage
on the
drinking.
Upper West Side.
Yeah, it was like by the park, and it was. I think it was like Yellowtail. It was Franzia, Chardonnay or something. And they would just, it would just be free all you can drink wine. They had to have stopped that years ago. I mean, I think that like, that was like, they couldn't do that anymore.
You told me about that.
Yeah. That was the place.
Let me see. This I'll look up.
Well, you would have known, because like it would have been all college students and like alcoholics that were there.
Well, the guy next to me definitely had the vibe of an alcoholic.
I mean, after like 3 or 4 glasses of Franzia Chardonnay, I would have like booted up Pornhub as well.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm looking at their Yelp. They may not do it anymore.
They must not do it anymore. Because that was like one of the only reasons that anyone from NYU would even like go to the Upper West Side.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
The food was pretty good, if I remember correctly.
The food was okay. It was the new cottage.
Oh, yeah. New meaning teetotaling. No free alcohol.
So it used to be called the cottage. Now it's called the new cottage. And it reopened in 2021. Let's see. This is a blog called I Love the Upper West Side. And it reopened. We hope the community will visit this amazing place. And they have a discount, and the original one on 76 in the Columbus and Columbus closed.
Oh, it's not even in the location.
They relocated. Oh no, they originally opened there, then they relocated 77th in Amsterdam. That's where I think we were. So
okay. So it's not quite as close as to the park anymore.
Then that location closed. It was on Amsterdam, I think. Then they closed. They're on Broadway.
Okay.
And then they closed and I don't know, it just seems like a lot of closing and opening.
They really they're making it work though.
They're making it work. Here's their sorry, this is probably even more boring than we used to talk about, like LA restaurants.
Upper former alcoholic free drink Upper West Side Chinese restaurants.
I don't know. Oh, here Jordan commented, can't wait to go to ASAP. They are in an institution and hopefully still provide free Franzia. Ha ha.
Yeah, somehow I doubt that that's happening.
Will they give our free bottles of wine? So blessed to see it resurrect.
Bottles? Franzia's never fucking seen a bottle in their life, that company.
Well, I don't know. These are the comments on the blog.
What did you do, like New York, like egg roll, sesame chicken, cold
That's
sesame
exactly
noodles?
We got exactly that, except for we got shrimp lo mein, not cold sesame noodles. But Sounds we good. Got sesame chicken and egg rolls.
Last time I had a hankering for egg rolls, we went to Genghis Cohen, and
I like Genghis Cohen.
Yeah, it's good. At the bar there, they were doing some like beer event. It was like some beer place was just like, I don't know, trying to sell their beer to the restaurant. So we crashed the event and like got wasted on free beer because the wait was like an hour long.
Really?
Yeah. And then we didn't have to order drinks when we ate. It was really good.
Oh, wow. You guys. So smart.
And at the end, we were walking back to the car and the guy who was running the event, I guess, noticed us and gave us a whole free case of beer to bring home.
Oh my God. Wow. That's so cool.
It was a lucky night.
When was this?
Yeah, maybe a month ago.
Oh, wow. You just did it.
Yeah. It's the last exciting thing to happen to me.
That is exciting.
But not as exciting as, well, last week when I talked about making that butternut squash sauce, crispy leeks and farfalle recipe from the cookbook called Veg Table that was profiled in Goop.
Yeah.
I did it. I made it last night.
How was it?
It was actually, it was right in the sort of lineage of classic Goop recipes that were tasty, but were just like a few too many ingredients and steps to make it like feasible on a normal weeknight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
It was really good. It's like you basically combine, you roast the butternut squash for like 45 minutes and then you make the sauce with like raw cashews and miso and blah blah blah, and then you like boil the pasta and then you like add the it takes like over an hour. Oh, and you're like frying the leeks for 20 minutes, so it takes like an hour and a half to make, but it was really tasty.
Yeah, that's so much, but I'm glad it worked out.
And I just read in the New York Times today, do you ever read the like well section of the New York Times?
No,
it's like the health section or whatever.
Honestly, I don't read anything at all.
Well, you read a lot. You're just reading for you're reading plays, mm-hmm. Screenplays, yeah, television pilots.
Yeah, that's all I read. Really, the important stuff.
But they had this study or an article linked to a study that claims that if you're making rice or pasta, and then you let it cool completely. Mm-hmm. The actual starch in the pasta changes and becomes more fibrous, which means that it does not raise your blood sugar or your blood pressure as much when you eat the starch as it would if you're doing like freshly made rice or pasta. So, I mean, I don't know how I would test this, but tonight when I have the leftover pasta, it will probably be better for me than when I had the pasta the first night. I thought this was an interesting, it was a study that I've never heard of before, anything like cold carbs are better for you than warm carbs.
Well, they didn't say cold carbs. They said specifically if you cook the pasta and then let it cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is not the same thing as cold carbs. Well,
no, because like there's all kinds of carbohydrates are in a lot of things.
But I'm specifically meaning like pasta and rice, like those type of carbs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, but I guess it's just like I've never heard that before. But
I know I've never heard anything like that before.
Well, this is going to be huge for me.
I mean, I it could be the type of thing, because apparently it's like now a trend on TikTok that these people are cooking their pasta and rice and then letting it cool. And then there was a debate whether you could actually reheat it afterwards.
I have heard something about this before, actually.
It was fascinating. And I like totally missed whatever boat this was. And so now, I don't know, it's just one other thing to keep in the back of your head when you are eating.
When you are like battling your demons in the kitchen. Yeah, I can't. But here's the thing, though, about me. I don't eat food that I cook anyway, so it doesn't matter.
No, you're just taking what you get from the delivery guy.
Yeah, literally, I just opened it. Today, I ate. I drank a peach-flavored kefir.
Yum.
A handful of granola. Cheese and crackers, all from Hungry Root.
Wow.
Yesterday was a bad day. We don't need to get into it, but yesterday
cookies, pizza, bagel.
Yeah, well, no bagel or pizza. Just like I had a scone for breakfast, then I had / lunch, then I had two glasses of wine, and then I came home and ate a cookie. That was my.
That's all you ate?
Yes.
Jeez.
But the scones and the cookie were very big. Yeah.
Well, you're still burning more calories than you're taking in, so.
I'm not. I don't think I am, because I'm also not, like, walking as, like, I'm walking more than I used to, but I don't feel like I'm, like, I'm not walking 10,000 steps every day.
You would be, I mean, you're probably not walking 10,000 steps, but, like, you would be surprised at how many more thousand steps you're walking than a typical day in LA.
Oh, definitely more than in LA. Well, in LA, I mean, like, this is all based on like my health app or whatever.
Yeah.
So like, yes, on a typical day in LA, the only way I would get this many steps is if I was like intentionally going for like a long walk. But in New York, I'm averaging like, I don't know, between like 5,000 and 7,000 steps, just like without really trying. But well, not today, because today I didn't leave the apartment, but like most days.
Yeah.
But in LA, in order to get that, I would have to like do it on purpose. But it's still just like moderate, you know.
Every little bit helps.
That's true.
I read another article in this fucking New York Times Well section that said now you're supposed to walk for 5 minutes every half hour.
I mean, the thing is, like, when are you supposed to, like, live your life?
No, I mean, I guess technically, since I work from home, no one would stop me from getting up every 30 minutes. But, like, then walking for 5 minutes, I can't even walk around the block in 5 minutes. It's like, I'm walking down the stairs, I'm walking across the street, and then I'm walking back up the stairs, and then I'm doing that again every half hour. I think I have to just let that one go because it's not happening.
I mean, that one just doesn't really make much sense.
But I should get up. I literally stay on the couch working.
But how would you ever get anything done? I mean, like, sometimes you have to sit and like concentrate on what you're doing for like a couple of hours. Like, it's not always like feasible to stand up and go walk in a circle for 5 minutes every 30 minutes. Like, it's like the world would fucking stop if everyone was like, oh, we have to take our 5 minute walk now.
I don't know. It said like 500 million people will develop high blood pressure over the next 10 years because they're not walking 5 minutes every half hour.
They're not walking 5 minutes every 30 minutes. I don't think that's, is it like, could you walk? Does it mean like maybe you have to walk 5 minutes for every 30 minutes that you sit?
I think they said it was acceptable if you really could only do like every 2 hours and then do like a 15 minute walk, which is.
That's also, I mean, it's just like people have jobs and stuff. Like, what are you supposed to do? It's like, so every day you walk, you wake up, you quit your job because it doesn't let you walk enough. Then you go make some pasta and let it get cold and then eat it. And then that's it.
That's your new morning routine, is make pasta first thing in the morning.
So it'll be ice cold by the time, so that the starch will be more fibrous.
And then you're walking 15 minutes, and then you obviously have to log on to like unemployment website.
Yeah, you log on to that. You put on your like UV, whatever they're called, like your blue light glasses, go on unemployment.com, get your check, and then
do another walk.
Yeah, then like drive that check over to like Erewhon to buy more noodles.
Oh, that was the other thing I did this weekend, was go to Erewhon.
Oh wow, how was it?
It was I don't know. I just really wanted to get a smoothie from Erewhon after I played tennis on Saturday morning. And yeah. I went and I got it. The Erewhon in Silver Lake now, I swear to God, even in the last like few months, it's gotten more insane and popular.
Really?
Especially on the weekends. I had to wait. I would say
it was never very good.
I mean, it's all the same, isn't it? Like,
I guess I always thought the Silver Lake one was like small and weird, and you had to park in that weird.
It is small. I usually do park on the street, but now they have like an across the street self parking thing or a valet in there you can do.
Oh.
But it was all tourists. It was like lots of people with British accents, and it took me ordering, waiting. It was like basically a half hour to get a smoothie, but it was really good. I got the $19 basic witch, which is their seasonal pumpkin smoothie, and it tasted like just a big cup of canned pumpkin.
I mean $19 doesn't sound that crazy to me anymore. But I feel like I would get like an acai bowl. First of all, I spent $20 on a 5 ounce glass of wine.
$20 for a glass of wine?
I think that's
the way things are headed.
It was at the theater.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that'll do it.
And if I wanted the bigger glass of wine, then that was going to be $31.
Jesus Christ.
Although, I feel like if you go to like a nice restaurant, that's what they cost, but it's like nicer wine. This was like really bad. But I needed it to get through Kimberly Akimbo. And
you didn't like it, Kimberly Akimbo?
I actually did. I was like scared I was going to be bored. And I kind of was in the first act, but then the second act, it really kind of came together. It was sweet. It's a sweet.
I just saw whatever song that they did on the Tonys, and but you can't really gauge from that type of thing.
I thought the songs were good. I'm just like not really a big musical person.
Yeah.
Do you know what it's about?
It's like a Benjamin Button lady, right?
Yeah, it's obviously, I think that somebody was like, oh, heard about progeria, and they were like, oh, I'm gonna write a play about a girl with progeria in high school. And then they realized that progeria like didn't work exactly the way they wanted it to for their like dramatic purposes. Oh. So they just like made up a fake thing where it's like they never say what it's called, but they're like, it's a super rare genetic condition where you age rapidly, which is
oh, it's aging, it's not aging backwards, it's aging rapidly.
Yeah, it's like she's supposed to just like have a genetic disorder. Uh-huh. And so it's like she's 16, but she's played by like a woman, like a 70-year-old woman.
Yeah, and that's just like a good like role for an actress. It seems like it's a
good role for an actress.
Because it's the lady from, she was like Light in the Piazza. Like, isn't that lady?
It was, I don't know. I saw it with an understudy.
Okay.
But I mean, I wasn't like, I didn't like have my heart set on.
Sure.
Seeing her. But you know.
It's the theater.
It was theater. It was free for me. So that was huge. And.
Did you read the receipt this week?
I didn't. Do you want to tell me about it?
Sure.
I love it when you tell me about it.
Well, I can do two. I can do two this week. I can do the receipt, and then I can also do the big article that The Cut did on Erewhon, which I thought would be pertinent to our conversation.
Yeah. Well, also because the newsletter was kind of light.
Oof, boy, was it ever.
Okay.
So.
Girl scientist?
Yeah, she's a food scientist. This is the first, I want to say this might be the first time in the receipt history where I was like viscerally jealous of this woman's job. Because
okay,
all she does, I mean, she is a scientist. Like, you have to be an actual scientist to be a food scientist, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like all she does all day is like taste snacks. And they're then like just
chemists.
Like,
chemistry.
I mean, I guess, but like in her telling of it, she's literally just eating snacks and like giving like tasting notes. I don't think she's like developing snacks. I don't know. Maybe she isn't oversimple.
I didn't know. I thought it was like in, you know, that scene in Breaking Bad where like they go and taste all the sauces.
Oh, that's right. I'm sure she's really qualified and has a wonderful education because she's making $100,000 a year, and she can't just be like eating Jolly Ranchers or whatever.
Yeah.
But she lives in Philadelphia. She's 26 years old. She's gluten-free. She doesn't say she has celiacs, but she is really strict about it.
Hold on a second, I'm looking at this. How is this woman getting Prime Video, Hulu, Max, DoorDash, Pass, and Spotify for $30?
Student. Oh, no, she's not a student anymore. She's probably on some of her parents. She's like codependent with her parents. She goes over to her parents' house like four times a week for dinner.
Because like Prime Video and Hulu and HBO are like, I don't know what they are, but they're like, I mean, they're all like $15 a month, right?
Well, if she's like me and a total cheapskate, she's doing the commercial for the ads version.
Yeah, I think that's what we have. I don't know.
I have commercials on everything now. I don't mind it.
I don't know.
But it does sound.
It's too, really, even if that's true, it's still too, not enough money.
I mean, they're probably not checking these people's math.
They obviously are not fact checking.
She had a comfortable childhood. She would go out to dinner a couple times a week. Her groceries that she always buys: chicken thighs, jasmine rice, decaf green tea, Trader Joe's raw honey, Jif peanut butter, interesting, gluten-free oats, cucumbers, celery, canned tuna, and Enjoy Life chocolate chips.
Those are like fake sweet ones. Those, like, healthy chocolate chips.
Okay. Weeks total $197.16. Groceries only $50. The rest going out to eat. Two grocery trips. Number of restaurant and cafe meals 15.
That's
a lot of those are like her cafeteria at work, though, I feel like. So let's see. Monday, she says she works from home. She has some gluten-free banana bread. She gets groceries off of DoorDash. Only $23. So it's just like some celery and Spindrifts and some tortillas.
Okay.
And then she's doing bonza with pesto. She is really obsessed with gluten-free, but I don't really understand why. She doesn't go into like her health issues. And then Tuesday it goes into, she does go into the office. So she drinks a protein drink, and then she says 10:30 a.m. she's tasting over 20 different food samples for work. In the food industry, it's pretty typical for about 10 people on your development team to meet in the test kitchen and taste samples to share feedback on formulas you're developing. Okay, so I guess they are like developing the formulas.
Mm-hmm.
She's just talking about the fun part of the job.
Well, I guess like they're tasting it and then they're like, but instead of like, I guess they're just not thinking of it as like a recipe. They're thinking of it as like chemical, like compounds that make this reaction.
Yeah. Cause like food scientists, it's like these big sort of ultra processed foods that you would even be a food scientist for. You're not like, obviously. Yeah.
I guess, but it's all, I mean, it's all chemicals, like all food, it's all chemicals. It's just like they're trying to like formulate it differently. Yeah. Like they're taking into consideration like different factors than like a recipe developer who just needs to like sell who's also sort of like a lifestyle influencer or whatever, like someone who wants to sell a cookbook or just like make a case for something that would be like delicious and is kind of like trying to encourage like a home cook to do it. I think the food scientists are working for like a big corporation that has like a certain budget and they want to get like, you know, the cheapest materials for like the best and like the best results.
Yeah. And develop flavors that are familiar and yet a little bit unique, pushing the envelope forward.
I guess. Yeah. They probably have like different mandates or whatever.
And I bet the big like fast casual chain restaurants employ food scientists too. Like I'm sure like Cheesecake Factory and those places.
No doubt.
God, that, I mean, that would be just such a fascinating job.
I wish I was like the Cheesecake Factory. Like, yeah, I wish I was like the chief scientist of the Cheesecake Factory.
Well, it's not too late to switch grad programs.
Yeah, I should just, go to whatever science school they have at NYU. I don't even know what it is.
So after all of that ultra processed food, she goes to mommy and daddy's home, who I guess also live in Philadelphia because she goes there a lot. And her parents, I don't know if it's her mom or her dad, but one of them is like a total like home cook, like Allison Roman, New York Times person, because all of their recipes, like tonight they're doing a Lydia Bastianic recipe with chicken thighs, sausage, potatoes, and red wine vinegar.
Yeah,
sounds really good.
Yeah, sounds very wholesome.
Very.
Like a real square meal.
For sure. Yeah, I feel like all of these parents' meals that she's having is like real sort of like slightly elevated, but like very Americana.
I wish my family was like that. Well, I guess I don't have to worry about it anymore.
you're far. I mean,
far away.
Your parents, like your dad has that like big green egg in the backyard.
Yeah, they cook, but it's like, it's always a whole fucking thing. It's never, it's always a similar deal.
So Wednesday, she's hitting up this work cafeteria a lot. She's doing like a egg, bacon, hash brown. She loves decaf shit. She's doing decaf vanilla latte.
Is it at night?
No, this is 9:17 a.m.
I cannot get behind that.
I don't understand. Like, I mean, a vanilla latte is tasty, but why are you not having caffeine at 9 a.m?
It's, you got to have the caffeine. I mean, like I'm drinking caffeinated drinks until like, well, it depends, but sometimes I'm drinking caffeinated drinks until 7 p.m.
I took a Nerd Alert yesterday at about 1. And I didn't even sleep well. I mean, that might not be the reason, but I was like, I couldn't even sleep last night.
I mean, it just depends on like how alert I need to be, like how late. Cause like sometimes I feel like these days, like I can't get through them without a little bit. That's a little something.
Sometimes you need, yeah.
Sometimes you need a little something, something. But it's like, only ever like a cup of coffee. I'm not like doing
well. I mean, if I know anything about NYU, those things are wildly available if you want them.
I mean, I think I'm just like not in this. Also, like literally everybody is like sober and like 5 million years old in my program.
Yeah, so, yeah,
like, I'm the oldest person, but it's like I feel like we have like it just doesn't feel like the vibe. But I could just get out of the loop. I don't know.
You never know.
No.
So lunch, she's back in the cafeteria. She's doing a steak rice bowl with a berry hibiscus iced tea. Dinner is at, oh, it's a work event with, it's at a sushi place that I don't know if they're like consulting. She says part of her, I guess part of her job is also like, this job just keeps getting better and better. Part of her job is to just like go to restaurants and like do research for like new flavors that are popping up.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
What are the new flavors that are popping? I just want to hear her talk about this stuff.
I know. So later she does get to the one little prediction she has that is that grape flavored things are going to be staging a major resurgence in the next couple of years.
Interesting.
Because I feel like grape, or at least that like classic purple Concord grape flavor has, and maybe it's just because of when I grew up, but it feels very like 1980s to me.
Me too. It doesn't feel, and it's like, you know, we've had our comebacks with like, I feel like Blue Raz.
Oh yeah. Blue Raz is so, I feel like 90s though. I love it. My electrolyte drink that I drink while I play tennis is blue raspberry flavored. It's so good.
It's just, I guess I like it if it doesn't have that like watery, like, I don't know. There's like a sugar water element to it that I don't like.
Oh, for sure. But the grape.
I always go for cherry.
Cherry's good too.
Grape is good.
Grape, I never really liked it as a kid. And I always felt like grape jelly and like grape things were a little sort of like déclassé in a way.
Well, I guess.
But now I like it. Like a Concord grape juice or a grape candy. I do.
Well,
I really have
very fond memories of drinking very sweet grape juice with Hala.
Oh, that sounds good.
At Hebrew school and elementary and kindergarten. And then I also, my dog is coming over. And then I guess because of that, I would sometimes, I remember being like the vending machine at my like little like basketball team and stuff. And sometimes like really weighing what if I should get a grape or orange soda.
Mm.
I remember that being a big decision for me.
Those are two.
Honestly, if you asked, I'd still have to think about it.
I feel like I would have liked grape and orange soda more if they had caffeine in them. I feel like I never even think about getting a soda that doesn't have caffeine in it.
I don't either anymore. Actually, that's not true. I didn't for a while. And then I started when I was still in LA and it's kind of stayed with me. I became like addicted to Sprite Zero at night, because I love drinking Diet Coke during the day. But you know, at a certain point I got to cut it off because it's
sure.
But then I like still wanted like a fun drink for late at night that wasn't alcohol, but still felt like a little bit bad.
Yeah.
Like, more than water. And Sprite Zero, that was the thing. Cause it's like, it's a little bad. You know, it's kind of trashy. It's diet soda. It's got no caffeine, no calories, no alcohol. It's perfect.
That does sound really good to have. And it is like a little transgressive to have it at night.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little transgressive.
I might try that.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. Sprite Zero. It tastes just like Sprite, I think. I don't know. I haven't had a regular Sprite in a really long time.
No, me neither. She goes back to mom and dad's house, and tonight they're making steak tips and mushrooms in brown gravy from a blog called Dinner at the Zoo.
I don't know how I feel about this.
It sounds good, actually. I don't think, I mean, I wouldn't make it because I'm like trying to not really have red meat, and then John doesn't like mushrooms. But
yeah,
I mean, it's like a beef. What is that? Beef stroganoff, beef and mushrooms? Is that what that is?
Yeah, but that also has egg noodles.
And this one, I guess,
special kind of sauce.
Yeah, this one doesn't have noodles in it. It's a little, maybe this is like a keto blog. I have no idea. Dinner at the Zoo.
That sounds kind of Whole30.
It does.
Yeah. Like it needs something else.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely have like pasta or like a lovely baguette with it.
Yeah. A lovely baguette would be nice. I could go for a lovely baguette right now.
Oh my god, that sounds really good.
I haven't like really eaten like a full meal today. And so
we're both starving. I had lunch. I'm just whining because I'm trying to like eat less, just because I'm trying to eat less. And so like I'm just eliminating things. And so I'm like, no more cheese on my sandwiches, no more mayonnaise, nothing. So I'm just like eating Ezekiel English muffin with like dry tuna.
Do you like it?
It's fine. I added a little olive oil to it, so it's not totally dry. And then I obviously put my sprouts. You know what? I had an olive tapenade in the fridge. I should have put that on it too. It's just not enough calories. I try to like have small portions, and then it just blows up in my face.
Well, yeah, I know. It's impossible.
I'll get through it, and I'll have a nice big protein bar before I play tennis, and then I'll have my leftover cold fiber-rich pasta tonight, and I will only have a palm full. I will not have a giant serving. Anyway.
I think I will. I have some vegetarian chicken tenders in the fridge.
Ooh, what brand?
So some veggie burgers. The chicken tenders, I think, are Light Life.
Okay.
And then the veggie burgers are like they're really good. They're Hungry Root, or they might be a brand that Hungry Root has, but you would like them. They're like black bean and like stuff. They're like the kind that you like with like a bunch of shit in them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So maybe I'll make one of those. But in my heart, I really want to order hummus. Like, I want to just like order like a big chicken hummus.
That does sound really good.
From this place in my neighborhood called Hummus Republic.
Oh, I'm familiar with it.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's like it's like slight, you know, sort of chain, but like it's good. It's like, you know, hummus and falafel and all those things. It's in like a, you know, Chipotle style, you know, order at the counter, and they do what you want.
Yeah, I haven't been, but there's one like right up the street, and I just like, I don't know, I just want it. We'll see. Time will tell. I should just eat the chicken, fake chicken.
Yeah, you could. I mean, jazz it up with some hummus, though.
Yeah. What if I put the? What if I did that? Yeah. See.
That's what I ate. That's so funny. That's what I ate all the first part of the week, because I bought. There's like a hummus man at the farmer's market. So I got a hummus man, and he has pita too. So I got pita, and I got pepperoncini hummus, and then I made like oven roasted shawarma, chicken shawarma that is it's a good New York Times recipe. And then I did cabbage, and then I made my own little pitas. Anyway, sorry. I'm just we need to stop talking about food.
This is one of the saddest ones we've ever.
I'm having a nervous
today
breakdown.
This week someone was like, "What's your podcast about?" And I was like, "Don't worry about it." Yeah. They were like, "Send it to me," and I was like, no.
All right. Whoa. What was that?
What?
Oh, it must have been a pop-up ad in one of my... Oh, it's the stupid blog that these fucking like, parents...
weird family blog?
Yeah, it just started playing pop-up ads.
Ugh.
All right, so the weekend. Let's go to the weekend. She does tapas. She goes to all these Philly places. One of them is called Grist House. One of them is called The Smashery.
Grist.
It's a brewery called Grist House. Four hard ciders. Oh, because she's gluten-free.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then she does the Smashery, which is smash burgers with a gluten-free bun. Let's see. Tapas. Then she goes back to her parents tonight on Sunday are making a veal stew.
She spends too much time with her parents. Like, I get it, but like, you can't see your parents this much. Like, see them once a week.
It's every other day. I mean, if my parents were making like this really good food all the time, and I like, I don't know, it would be hard to turn down.
Yeah, that's how they get you. But it's like, you have to resist, because at a certain point it all falls apart. What is she, 28?
She's 26.
Yeah.
And they're doing a Giada veal stew. And then she has to do, she says the disclaimer, this week's diet has been very unusual for me. I normally eat out at restaurants maybe twice a week. And she says restaurants, including my parents' house. So she considers her parents' house a restaurant. I sort of don't agree that, or don't believe her that this is that unusual.
I don't believe her either.
So there we go. Sunday night, she's doing a sugar-free chocolate chip cookie with vanilla coconut milk. Oh, and then her new like health thing that she does is a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar with a tablespoon of the Concord grape juice, which has whatever the pheno, whatever chemical that is supposed to be good for you.
Yeah, they say that if you want the health benefits of red wine, you can just drink grape juice, which I wish no one had ever told me that, because I don't want to know. Like, I want to think that the best way is the wine,
I guess. But doesn't grape juice has like much more sugar in it than red wine, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, because in red wine and white wine, the sugar is converted to alcohol.
But to your body, is like the alcohol and the sugar any different for your body, or?
Not really,
yeah. Oh, all right.
I mean, alcohol is obviously way worse for your body than sugar in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, alcohol is like poison. Sugar isn't. Sugar, your body needs sugar to function. Mm-hmm. Your alcohol is like, you shouldn't consume it. I mean, it's literally poison. Yeah.
I had a beer 4 days ago. I'm just confessing things now. Yeah, it was good. A Pacifico.
I had 2 glasses of wine last night and a glass of wine.
I'm just thinking that person had commented that our podcast is just us confessing our orthorexia is like.
Well, we sure gave them something to write about today, didn't we? But my orthorexia is really on the mend, I think. I'm like less orthorexic than I was before because I'm just like not thinking about it as much, which I think is good.
Yeah. I think after I got my now I have to get the stupid metabolic panel every 3 months because of my CML. And unfortunately, the unrelated drawback of that is I know my blood pressure and blood sugar constantly.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And the last time I did it, it wasn't great. And I was like, what? I feel like I think it's, I don't know what it is. Anyway, this is not for, I don't know. You guys don't need to hear about this.
Yeah, everybody needs to hear about it.
Let's move on to the Erewhon article from The Cut.
Please.
I'm sure some of you have read it. So it's interesting to me, sort of, that like, so The Cut is part of New York Magazine. It's a very like New York-centric publication. And Erewhon is obviously an LA establishment that, as of yet, does not have a branch in New York. But there's this fascination, I think, especially in New York, with Erewhon.
Well, there's definitely a fascination with like New York, like blogs like this, because it's just like something buzzy that they could write about that they can't because it's not in New York.
Yeah.
But I don't. It's like, who gives a shit? Like, if it can't, like, there's a million things like it in New York. Actually, there aren't, but there isn't really anything like it in New York, I don't think.
Which makes me think it's very, because even there's a guy that works for Erewhon that's quoted in the article, and he does like say, we will be in New York soon. So you can rest easy on the pillow tonight, knowing that you will soon have an Erewhon.
I mean, I feel like if there's a city that like needs $19 smoothies, it's New York, and it's weird that there isn't one here. Like, they would obviously do so well.
Well, and I mean, it's similar to people in LA, but in New York, I think there's even, I don't know, like New York and LA, obviously, you know, rivalry, sort of tale as old as time. But I think LA is like, or Erewhon is like a very, you know, particular subset of LA that the media class in New York likes to make fun of, but then they also would be the first people in line for these smoothies once they're there. So, it's self-aware.
They want to be it too. And it's like, like the only difference between Erewhon and like a million other markets in New York, like the Upper East Side, as you know, is like there, it's just like that's like all they have here is like overpriced markets, like yeah, for rich people to go to, like that there's so many of them here. And the only difference is like the health angle, like the markets here are all like quality angle, like it's like a nice like bougie like kind of Jewish adjacent like market with a lot of like prepared foods and whatever. Like yesterday, like not yesterday, the other week, I went to downstairs of Eli Zabar's to like the real supermarket part of it that I'd never been to, and I saw a $12 cauliflower.
Jesus Christ.
And like they have like, but Eli Zabar is not a health store. They just, it's like that's the only difference, but the prices are the same. So I don't think that but I think that it's like a combination of like the insane prices and the health claims are what make Erewhon an LA market versus.
Yeah. Cause I guess New York likes to sort of pride themselves on, oh, like we work hard, we play hard, you know, we're just doing black coffee and cigarettes and then we don't care about vegetables. And, but that's not the case. And yeah, like Citarella or Zabar's or any of those places are not any cheaper than Erewhon.
No, definitely not. But I also kind of am like, well, how is Erewhon going to do it here? Because a lot of the stuff Erewhon sells is just more expensive because it's more rare. I mean, maybe that's all manufactured, those crazy prices for the like supplements and stuff in the smoothies, because that's what makes the price so high.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's like what is doing it, or like I don't know, like are the prices going to be even higher in New York? Because
they
York,
might, they might be
groceries, the regular grocery stores, which don't exist really, but whatever, such as they are all way more expensive than LA.
Yeah, and like produce and stuff, you're obviously not going to get as much local produce in New York.
Yeah.
So that might be, and I think everything is just a little bit more expensive. So I imagine. I sort of picture them to open in by the Ace Hotel, like Nomad area, sort of like Midtown South for some reason. That's just my hunch.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be, I don't think they'll open on the Upper East Side or the Upper West Side to start out with. It'll be like lower Midtown or maybe Chelsea, because Chelsea is where the first Whole Foods in New York opened.
I feel like they're going to want to be, yeah, like they're not going to want to be on the Upper East Side, probably. They'll want to be where like girls will like vlog about it or like make TikToks about it. But, you know, whatever. That's why I like the Upper East Side. It's just like, it kind of is just like, it's like old Jewish people.
Yeah, not quite as many influencers.
No.
So this article, it talks a lot about the history of Erewhon, which I think has been, there's like some episode of some TV show that went over, but it's this Japanese couple who, settled in Boston and they became obsessed with a macrobiotic diet. And so they opened like a health food store in Cambridge.
Really?
That was called Erewhon. Yeah. This is in...
Ew! I didn't know it was from Boston.
Yeah.
I thought it was an LA original.
No, so the first one was in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And then eventually, it was like only in Cambridge for years and years and years. And then eventually they opened, I think in the late 70s, the one on Beverly. I don't know, or it was on Beverly. I don't know if it's the same...
Oh, yeah. I always think of the original one as the one on like 3rd, like by the Grove.
That's on Beverly.
Oh, it's on Beverly. Yeah, that's what I think of as being like the first one in LA. That was the only one for a long time, I think.
Yeah. And so they also talk about these people's lives. And of course, they have this strict macrobiotic diet and then they still like die of cancer. It's like so sad.
Yeah, they always still die of cancer. Your diet will not save you.
Sorry. No.
I hate to break it to you.
And then by the mid-aughts, it was...
I'm looking.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Like, yeah. it was this very sort of like cult object. They said like Amanda Chantal Bacon was a big customer.
Oh, yeah.
Forrest Whitaker. But it was this guy that managed it who would basically, you would go in and you would like tell them your health problems and he would like concoct this like bespoke smoothie for you.
The good old days.
But this businessman named Tony Antochi in 2011. Bought Erewhon from the original family, and then that's what sort of corporatized it. Like they started, the smoothie guy that was like the face of the store quit, and then they started focusing more on aesthetics and on, you know, packaged food, then that's sort of where the Erewhon that we, you know, that we know came from. It started in 2011.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember that other one always kind of being there, and it was always like a crazy LA place.
I'm sad I never got to experience it because I moved here in 2013.
I mean, I don't remember it being that different. I just remember like, yeah, like it sort of took off, like it got like really popular.
Yeah, and I guess some of that is from, I mean, some of it was, I guess, sort of organic, like influencers just becoming obsessed with it, but then I think there was like a corporate strategy that made them go mainstream.
Oh yeah, probably. It's like it's so expensive. I don't know. It's like I used to sometimes go and get like my own sort of smoothie there that I would make up after.
Can you do that?
Yeah, or actually no, I would like get it. So they had one that's like, they had one that was like banana almond butter or something like that, and almond milk, and I would add espresso to it.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It was good. And because my favorite smoothie of all time was this one that was like walnuts and banana and maca from Moon Juice. And I don't live any, I mean, I don't, at the time I like didn't live anywhere near to a Moon Juice anymore, and it had been so long, and then that was like the closest thing to it, and I don't know if that one ever had, if the one I'm thinking of had cold brew or espresso, or if I just made that up, but I just always thought like espresso would be really good in it, so that's what I started getting. But that, I never got any of the like really fancy ones, like the influencer ones or anything like that. And then whenever I would go, and I'd be like, okay, fuck it, I'm just gonna go and get something from Erewhon, who cares? I'd be like, this, I don't want to spend like $25 on these like soggy keto, like, you know, scones or whatever the hell they had.
I mean, you have to just go every once in a while and like get one thing and consider it a treat. like John had just gotten his COVID booster. And so when I got my smoothie, I got him a mason jar full of chicken noodle soup.
Yeah.
He said it was good. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. I mean, quality's good.
I mean, it's good. It's just like, I don't think it's that good to spend that much money on.
It is funny to me that like in 20, so this guy takes over in 2011, but I feel like Moon Juice became like this flashpoint before the recent Erewhon craze. You know what I mean?
Well, I moved to Silver Lake and across the street from the Moon Juice. I think I moved there in like 2012 and I lived there until 2015. Yeah. And that was when I was in like the height of my Moon Juice, but that was just because I lived right by it. It was hard for me to really gauge like how popular it was to like people who didn't, but I think that was like the Moon Juice time too.
I think it was. I think because it was, there was like a whole juice craze in like
before
the...
that. Yeah, everyone in LA was really juicing really hard in like 2011, 2012.
And Moon Juice sort of took that juice craze and like made it its most sort of ridiculous by adding all of these supplements. And I do think Erewhon now took something from, I mean, maybe they were doing it before, but I feel like now Erewhon is this big cultural phenomenon and like no one talks about Moon Juice anymore.
Moon Juice had like all of those weird milks and that you could buy. They were like packaged
and the dusts,
but like I remember they had like the strawberries, the Silver Surfer that had the silver strawberry. I think it was like a strawberry milk that had
colloidal silver.
There was like a black, that was the first place I ever saw like a charcoal drink, and that was like crazy at the time. Stuff like that.
But yeah, Amanda Chantal Bacon is keeping a low profile.
And
Erewhon
anymore. I mean, like, she's just like whatever. I'm sure she still has her store and that's it.
Yeah. I do think, like, from reading about this CEO of Erewhon, I feel like it is eventually going to go the way of Whole Foods and just become this huge, huge corporation.
They would have to lower their prices. There's no way. There's going to be like just like a cap on how many, on like how many people will eat.
Oh, yeah. No, I guess I meant it would be like Whole Foods was pre-Amazon, maybe? Or like in like only sort of like rich neighborhoods, but like across the country.
Yeah, I guess Whole Foods did. And there are always expensive like Gelson's and stuff like that.
Which I don't understand. Because Gelson's is truly just like a slightly cleaner Ralph's that is twice as expensive.
Yeah, I mean, they have good like prepared foods there too. Yeah. New York just got a Wegmans, which is exciting for everybody here.
Oh, yeah. I've never been to one, but that's like a popular one for people that grew up in New England.
Well, I stuck my head inside and just kind of walked around. I needed a corkscrew and I didn't really know what it was. I kind of thought it was like a fancy CVS. Because I was getting it confused with, there's like another place that those people like to go and get like sandwiches. Wawa. Okay. I thought it was like a Wawa.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So I like went in and I was like, oh, this is like a full blown supermarket. It was really crowded and really, really big. It's really big. And it's like right by NYU.
Oh, cool.
It's like right by the Astor Place stop. And
oh, is it where the Kmart was?
I don't know. Maybe it's like right. Probably there's no Kmart there.
There's
it's
no
like,
Kmart. So it must be that building because that's the famous Kmart that was like the last Kmart standing.
Oh, yeah, I guess it must be. And it is massive and they have like so much pre-made stuff, like a huge like sushi area and all this shit, and then like it's just like a regular grocery store. Like downstairs is like the regular grocery store and upstairs is all the prepared food.
Wow.
So that's an exciting addition. But
that's first on my list when I go to New York over Christmas.
Oh yeah, you'll love it. I can't see myself ever really, I mean I could because it's like really, it would be easy for me to go, but I just don't want to lug all that shit home after
the
day. But maybe
totally.
I will.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right.
I went there the other day and got a rotisserie chicken.
Oh, well, you have a few, if you read the Goop newsletter, you'll have a few ideas of what to do with that rotisserie chicken.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, Goop why all these people want to say, like, here are three things you can do with a rotisserie chicken. How many articles about things to do with a rotisserie chicken have you read in your life? Because I've read a lot.
I mean, like, it is such a, I think it must get, like, good traffic. Like, whoever's smart enough to know, like, what things get clicks, rotisserie chicken ideas must be a very popular thing. Cause I don't know. It just, I guess it is, like, if you need to feed a family and you don't have time to cook and you don't want, like, fast food, a rotisserie chicken is, like, a very just sort of easy, healthy thing to get. So I imagine busy moms everywhere are, like, furiously clicking on these ideas.
I guess.
All right. I assume that was not your best of the week, or maybe
no, it wasn't even on my list.
Okay.
Because I wasn't I wasn't particularly interested in it. Do you want to start talking about lists?
Yeah, let's do it.
My best obviously was Gwyneth's dry skin routine, which did have an accompanying YouTube video
where she talks a lot about skiing, which I thought was funny.
Well, I get it, because the winter is when dry skin goes really bad. Like, I have dry skin. It gets really bad in the winter. And I just want to follow all of these steps. Okay, here's the thing about me. I have completely, like, let myself go in multiple ways since I got to New York City. I've really let my orthorexia slide, and I need to get back on that ASAP. I have definitely, my skincare, I have not used retinol once since I got to New York.
Wow.
I just started getting back into my sunscreen, but for a while I wasn't even doing that. I was just a mess. It was a huge ordeal. I just moved. It was like getting all my shit organized. My bathroom's so much smaller. I'm like, I don't know. Everything is fucked up. So I really want to get back on track, and especially now that my skin is drying out so much. And I just really need to start taking better care of myself, because it's just been like, it's just like out of control. So I think I should just follow this skincare. I've been wanting to pull the trigger on these Depuff eye masks, which are the first step on her dry skincare routine. I really don't think I will. It's too much money, but I'll get like a cheaper version from Sephora or something. The face oil, I don't know about that. Also, she puts that on before moisturizer.
I think that's oil or a serum before a moisturizer. That makes sense, right?
I thought you put it on after. You were supposed to put it on after.
Oh, I don't know.
Like, oil is always supposed to be the last thing to seal it in.
She's an iconoclast. She does what she wants.
She does. Then, you know, oh, she said she uses this multiple times a day. Then she uses, oh, this is a body cream. She's just talking about random stuff. Then the 911 emergency balm, which was also something that I wanted to start getting.
Yeah.
And then just, like, you know, use their little lipstick. I want to buy all of this stuff. I really enjoyed it. It really reminded me to start reinvesting in my skincare, because it's been slacking, and now is not the time to slack. Now is the time to up it, and I've been, you know, not upping it. So
you're about to spend your first winter in New York, and those fucking radiators will dry the shit out of your skin.
Yeah, they're already on, so, like, and it's not even really that cold, so it's been, my skin is fucked up already from it.
Yeah, you're going to need to moisturize every inch of your body.
Yeah, for sure. So I enjoyed that article. And I always like, it's always nice to see her. And her skin did really, really good. And she's wearing this, like, gray sweater. And I love her eye makeup. Maybe I should start wearing makeup, too, to be more like Gwyneth Paltrow.
All right. I mean,
like, I love her little eyeliner and her little, it's like, I like it when she's not so natural. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's it's not excessive, but she's got a little makeup on.
And lately, I think she's going a little bit more in that direction, which I don't mind.
A little glam.
Yeah. Well, she had that, like,
you prefer your women glamorous.
Well, no, I don't know. I like women however they want to look.
Lovely.
Speaking of women that we love,
yeah,
my best was a really great piece of investigative journalism by one Jean Godfrey June.
Called,
yeah, it's called What's New at the Dermatologist? Everything from lasers to a new kind of filler, plus why baby Botox isn't what you think it is.
Well, baby Botox is just Botox.
It's just
for
like
people, for if you're for when you're in your 20s.
Yeah. But Jean,
you tell me, because I'm the.
Well, it just seems like a lower dose of Botox, basically, is what.
Yeah, because it's like for people who don't really need it yet.
Yeah. Jean talks to lots of dermatologists and discovers some new treatments that are just coming onto the market. There's a one called Skinvive by the makers of Juvederm.
Okay, I'm listening.
And it's the first filler that is injected into the dermis rather than below the dermis.
Okay.
And so what happens, according to New York dermatologist Makren Alexadies, MD, PhD, okay, he says it's unique in that it's FDA approved for smoothing skin as opposed to replacing lost volume. So I think if you use it, you're not going to get, for lack of a better term, Madonna face.
Well, yeah, but like lost volume is kind of the point. Like smoothing skin, what does that even mean? I don't really know what that means.
Well, I think for different people.
With like fine lines and wrinkles.
Exactly. Fine lines and wrinkles.
But aren't those lost volume? I thought that's what that was, like collagen.
It says the role of filler historically has been to replicate fat, pad, and bone support, which we lose in the normal course of aging.
Mm-hmm.
Skinvive diffusely hydrates the underside of the skin, which makes the surface of the skin look more buoyant and smooth. It delivers significant visual impact for about 6 months in these fine radial lines that show up on the cheeks. It's a subtle change. So it's good for people who are nervous about looking unnatural. So maybe it's not going to be as dramatic as your typical fillers.
When I got my fillers, I thought that they looked really good and like really natural.
Yeah, it didn't look overdone at all.
No, and I don't think most people would have been able to tell. And they're still working. But I think that when I do it next time, I don't think I'm going to, I don't know if I'll go back to the cheeks. I think I'll just do the nasolabial folds, which are like a huge thing for me, and my Botox.
How many months ago did you get those now?
Not that long ago. I mean, it's still there. Like yeah. I just can't feel it as much, but I think I got it in August.
Okay.
So it's supposed to last about like 6 months. So
yeah. Then we have Sofwave, Sofwave, which is a targeted energy wave delivering energy below the skin to build collagen. I don't really understand. So yeah. Let's see. Sofwave delivers ultrasound energy about a millimeter under the skin, which means you get the real benefits without affecting fat or nerves. It's more to treat things like acne scars and cellulite, it says. I don't know. And then we have a longer lasting neuromodulator. So that's like the category that includes Botox, Xeomin, Dysport, Juvéderm. And this one is called Daxify.
Ooh, Daxify. Daxify my face.
This one seems a little controversial. So, because it's like stronger and lasts longer than Botox. So, one of the dermatologists recommends it. Let's see. Oh, but they say it can be great for our clients who travel very far to see us from Europe, Middle East, or Asia. But for patients I see routinely 3 times a year, it's not worth it. And it wouldn't be worth having the long-lasting side effects if it is botched.
Ooh, yeah.
So this does seem like something that maybe your foreign lady who's traveling to New York for some work would like, but yeah, not for regular wear and tear.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, I definitely want to go and get. I noticed a little guy coming back right between my eyebrows, a little line that had been gone. So I want to get it out, but I might wait until there's more to do.
And Jean does not forget to remind us the most important thing all of us can do for our skin every day is to put on sunscreen.
Of course, always
She
wear sunscreen.
says, there's no better Miracle Youth cream on the planet. Pick one you love and wear it every day.
It's so true. And I'm
It
glad that
is.
I have actually been wearing sunscreen every day since I was a
Yeah.
kid. Like, I mean, I've gone through phases where I've forgotten, but I've been pretty consistent, I think.
Even when you were a kid, you were wearing it every day
Well, when
regularly?
I say kid, I mean like 20s.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever wore sunscreen unless I was like specifically going to the beach or something until I was in my 30s.
Oh yeah, I always wore like face sunscreen. Because they've been saying this for years.
No, I'm sure they have. All right.
My
What was your
wish.
worst?
Well, we have a new fucking candle on the scene.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Well, I'm sure it's gonna be fine and I'm sure it's gonna smell good, but it is a Christmas candle. That's part of their little, I don't know. This is so there's this like list that's just like Gwyneth's picks.
Oh, yeah.
It's not oh, I do have a funny, like it didn't make it, but there's like a funny aside that I want to talk about too. But one of them, so it's like the Heretic Dirty Santa candle. I think it's time to let this heretic thing go away. I'm sort of sick of like their disgusting sexual puns with these fucking candles. I'm over it. And I don't think it's like funny anymore. And it's like they already trolled everybody with the vagina stuff. And it's just, I'm done. And especially like Christmas sex shit is just like, I really don't like that. I just like, it's not my thing.
No,
I'm.
I don't like sexy Santas. I don't like any of that stuff.
Yeah, like I don't want a dirty, sexy candle, Santa candle. Like, no, thank you. But what's funny is that like right next to it on the list is this G label skirt, and they just call it the really, oh no, it's called the Riley Long Velvet Skirt. I thought it was called a really long velvet skirt, which would have been funny also. It's a long velvet, it's like a black velvet skirt, and the model is wearing it with like a white like tube top, like strapless top. And I wonder if they were inspired by this TikTok that was really big like 2 or 3 months ago, where this woman was like, I finally found the perfect dress. Oh, you know what? It was reversed. So never, it might not have been. I finally found the perfect dress for my friend's wedding and I love it. And some people are going to say it's wrong, but I really want to wear it. I'll feel it's the only thing I could wear is the guest, a wedding guest. For some reason, her role as a guest at her friend's wedding was so important that her dress had to be perfect. And her dress was this long, beautiful, full, white, flowing dress, but the top was not white. The top was like a strapless black, like tight, like bodice thing. So like it looked like a wedding dress, but if like the top part was black, it didn't, it looked
Okay.
exactly like a wedding dress. It was obviously the most inappropriate thing in the world. And then the funniest part of it, she was like, I asked all my friends who were girls and they all said not to wear it. And then I asked my gay best friend and he said it was fine. And so it just like became a thing online on TikTok for a second. And I just thought it was so funny. And I was like, oh, that's what this dress reminded me of. But then I realized it the dress was the other way.
That's
So maybe
really
it wasn't.
funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how, I mean, unless it's like a totally casual or non-traditional wedding, how anyone could even think about wearing anything close to white. It'd be like,
Just don't wear, it's
just
like
don't
the
do it.
easiest thing in the world to not wear white. I feel like the only time it gets sort of hard is like the, like, because if you're going for like a spring vibes thing, you know what I mean, like, or like summery, like, you know, it's like a lot of like light colors.
That's true.
But it's like, just don't fucking wear white. Just wear black. It doesn't matter if it's like, if it's summer, whatever it is, just like wear a black dress. It's fine. You look better in black than white anyway, probably. No one will get mad at you. It's less of a faux pas in, even if the person's getting married in June or whatever, it's always like going to be better to wear black to a wedding than white, no matter what. So just get a black dress. No questions. Put it on. Go. Shut up. Get drunk for free. Good night.
Exactly. And it won't get the dress dirty.
And yes, and then you can like get blackout drunk and vomit on it, and no one will care.
Wearing white is so stressful. I don't know why anyone would do it voluntarily.
I don't know, but you know, women are insane. Sorry to say. Oh, sorry. Welcome to our misandry hour. Yeah. No, misogyny hour.
I do like that gay guy who's just stirring the pot, though. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, and every gay guy was like, "Don't listen to him."
Well, my worst, if you haven't guessed it already, is the fucking Three Easy Weeknight Dinners from Goop Kitchen for
the rotisserie chicken.
One rotisserie chicken. They're not ideas. They're not recipes. They're nothing. The recipe is literally step one: get on DoorDash and order a rotisserie chicken from Goop Kitchen. Step two: order a Caesar salad from Goop Kitchen. And then get some tortillas. And then the first night you just have the chicken. The second night you make Caesar salad wraps.
Which also, like, sorry, but at that point the Caesar salad is inedible.
Disgusting.
Like, you can eat leftover chicken, but you cannot eat leftover seasoned Caesar salad, especially from Goop Kitchen.
Well, I guess if the dressing's on the side, potentially. But it's just, it's so insane. And then the third day, which you would actually, on first glance, you're like, oh, this is actually a recipe that makes sense. But then if you think about it a little longer, it's even more insane. Is that he's telling you to do a tortilla soup. Oh, and by the way, this is, so we have Kim Floresca, and then we have a new chef on the scene who is her, I don't know, partner, assistant, Brent Perino. So this is his recipe. Next day, tortilla soup.
I feel like people, the rotisserie chicken industrial complex presents a rotisserie chicken as more food than it actually is. If you are feeding a family or even probably yourself, I don't think you're going to get the three meals out of one rotisserie chicken, and especially if it's like for two people. Yeah, like
if it's just for you, I could see it lasting for three meals. But
if it's just you, yes. If it's,
but not for two.
You, if it's two people, no. And some of us don't like dark meat, so that's even worse.
Oh, wow. So you will just... See, I feel like... I mean, I like dark meat anyway, but especially on a rotisserie chicken, the breasts get dry, especially if you're reheating them the next day.
I just don't like the taste of dark meat chicken.
I get it.
I would rather have the dried out breast than the sloppy fatty dark.
Sloppy fatty. So this guy for a tortilla soup. Okay, if you're going to go to the trouble of making a tortilla soup from scratch using chicken meat, using chicken bones, making your own stock, doing everything.
Yeah.
Like, just get a raw chicken. Like, why are you getting a rotisserie chicken? Like, by the third day, you're just gonna have a carcass. Like, it's crazy to me that you would think
articles
that
like this, I think, have also contributed to my weird like orthorexia, where I just feel bad all the time, like I'm doing something wrong. And it's like, you're not. If you order a rotisserie chicken and you just like eat the meat from it and then throw it out and move on with your life, you have not done anything wrong. You are not obligated to eat an entire chicken. You don't have to save the bones in your fridge and like not eat anything until you turn it into soup and then feel bad when you don't, and then keep it there for so long that it's toxic poison anyway. Like, this is what I would have done. And it's like, just throw it out. It's fine. It's not food waste. it's not food waste. How much more time, energy, money do you have to put into turning this fucking stupid goddamn piece of shit chicken into a soup anyway that you don't even want?
No, the whole premise of the article is like, this is the third day and you would just not have much meat left. But then the recipe, it says to put in an entire rotisserie chicken to make this soup. So it's like, what is it? Is this the third day or is this you have to go to fucking Goop Rotisserie and get a new chicken? It just doesn't make any sense.
Are you supposed to get two rotisserie
chickens? Yeah, at that point, just fucking buy a chicken and make soup. You don't need a rotisserie chicken to make soup.
And also, back to the grocery prices question again, at this point in our lives, I think if you needed to go to the store and buy, you know, an onion, like bay leaves, a chicken,
Siete avocado sauce, or not, Siete enchilada sauce.
Siete enchilada sauce, whatever else you want to put in your soup and then make it, I bet you it would be cheaper to just like buy a cup of tortilla soup from the like soup part of the store and just call it a day. I don't think this is so much time and energy for something you don't even want.
No.
Just because you have the chicken. So now you're going to go and spend an additional $20 on top of that.
At least.
Throw it out.
And then to add insult to injury, this guy recommends adding mushrooms and zucchini to his tortilla soup, which...
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm no food purist.
La La Land at this point. Yeah. This guy's insane.
You know who has really good tortilla soup?
Who?
El Pollo Loco.
I love El Pollo Loco. I really miss her. I haven't been there in so long, but like that was my, like, I think other families would do like a rotisserie chicken or like a bucket of chicken or whatever. But we would always get El Pollo Loco.
Oh, yeah. It's a good chicken. And that tortilla soup is so good. Oh,
and like God. Make your own burrito was like always a fun night.
Ooh, now I want to get El Pollo Loco. I used to go all the time when it was right next to UCB Sunset. But now I like never go. Anyway.
Yeah, I never go either.
Well, it would be pretty hard for you to go.
Well, yeah. But I never went like when I lived in LA.
I wonder... What will open first in New York, Air One or El Pollo Loco?
I think probably Pollo Loco. Air One. I don't think Pollo Loco will ever come to New York.
I don't think it's like, I mean, it's definitely like a good, solid place that is, I feel definitely like more, it's like fast food, but it's more healthy than Del Taco or Taco Bell. And it's like good Mexican fast food. But it has no sort of cult status. I don't know anyone who's like, oh my God, when I go to LA, I need to get El Pollo Loco.
I know, but everyone who lives there knows it's really good.
It's good, yeah. They need to get like In-N-Out's PR person or something.
I should be In-N-Out. Yeah. How did In-N-Out get that and El Pollo Loco didn't?
Yeah, I don't know. That would be actually an interesting article to do, is like the history of In-N-Out as California's like cult fast food premier burger place. Yeah, like why that place became this like fetish object when, I mean, it's like a pretty fine, you know, fast food burger, but it's like I never really got the hype around it.
I agree. I mean, I like it a lot.
Yeah.
But it was the last thing that I ate before I left LA.
It's good.
I'll probably get one. I'm so excited. I have like a little list of things that I need.
Oh, yeah. Eat. You're coming next week.
Versailles.
All right.
In-N-Out. Tacos.
Etc. All right. What was your craziest or your saddest?
My saddest was chronic vag pain, and it's just sad, just another sad one from our girls over at Goop. Like, why are women experiencing these, why do women experience this kind of debilitating sex pain around sex? Is there something more going on beyond the physical? Is there an emotional, psychic trauma that it's connected to? Is it just under researched because gynecology doesn't get the attention it deserves from like the historically male dominated medical sciences. Like, what is going on with this? I'll always want to know. It makes me sad though, like, that so many women experience this.
Yeah. And I guess there's, an audience for these articles.
Yeah. I mean, did I read it? No. Well, I skimmed it. I skimmed it for the purposes of our conversation. Am I interested in it? No.
Any, like, there's no interesting tricks or tips?
Well, it says first you have to get a diagnosis.
Yeah.
And it's a diagnosis of exclusion. So you have to rule everything else out. And once you rule everything else out, then you all of a sudden kind of have to learn to deal with it. And then you cope with it by going to a sex therapist.
Wow.
And use water-based lube.
Smart.
That they sell on Goop at the end. Of course. It's depressing. It's a sick, sad, depressing cycle.
Yep.
But there you have it.
All right. This, I thought this was crazy. On Instagram, Gwyneth, I guess, recently attended the grand opening of the Swarovski crystal store on Fifth Avenue in New York.
Oh, and yeah. Taylor Swift was in New York.
Oh, okay.
All right. Anyway, but I guess Gwyneth was too.
Gwyneth posted a picture with Kim Kardashian and Ashley Graham, I think, the model. And I guess, I mean, I knew people hated Gwyneth and I knew people hated Kim Kardashian, but these Instagram comments are crazy.
Let me look.
We have, I'll just scroll down. Disappointed to see you and Goop associated with the likes of the Kardashians. Talk about cheapening your vibe. Then someone says, didn't you say you'd rather eat canned cheese than be seen with the Kardashians? It's like, no, she said she would rather smoke crack than eat canned cheese. Get it straight. Then we have 4,237 murdered children. Hashtag ceasefire now. That's unrelated. So much. This is the pro Kim one. So much Kim hate. Do you realize how hard it is to be everywhere? That woman moves like Santa Claus. I do not know what that means.
Because Santa Claus gets like all around the world in one.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
The Kardashians, really? I think your Goop products for me may get knocked down a notch. I use many.
Wait, I'm sorry. So being on Amazon and Target didn't do it, but one picture with Kim Kardashian did. These people are so weird. Okay.
I guess I didn't realize, I don't know. I just didn't think that like in 2023, Kim Kardashian was considered like a cheap, I don't know. I guess I assumed that both Gwyneth and Kim Kardashian are just like total A-listers. And I understand historically why Gwyneth would have been seen as like a more upscale celebrity than Kim Kardashian. But nowadays I'm like, are they any different? I don't think so.
I mean, I guess you could make that case sort of, but I do think that they, I think that they like, they're for different audiences for sure.
Yeah, I guess they are for different audiences, but they both are like, just like total, you know, business women building their empires.
Yeah, well, I don't need to get into Gwyneth's credentials to talk about why she's like, obviously a superior, like, artist and
for sure
woman. But Kim Kardashian, I mean, it's really no competition. I mean, like, how Gwyneth became famous versus how Kim Kardashian famous.
I do like Kim's outfit. It's like a crystal two-piece.
I like Gwyneth's outfit. I feel like it's very like, okay, I'm doing this, but I'm gonna do it in like my way.
Yeah, it's not
like
gaudy.
She's not selling. She's not like being tempted to do that. She still is like very sophisticated and like.
And then Ashley Graham
is like a little too good for it.
I don't like Ashley Graham's outfit.
I don't like it. I didn't know who that was. I still don't. And I don't like her outfit.
She's a model. She's just wearing, it's like a sheer thing with underwear underneath. Her, yeah. Yeah.
I did like the one nice comment I saw said three baddie mommies. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I like that. But then it turned out it was from her.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I thought it was just a comment too.
Three baddie mommies from Ashley Graham. Yeah, Ashley. Yeah.
She is sort of like the Christina Aguilera in the Britney Madonna kiss.
Paltrow Daily said goddesses. That's nice. One nice person.
Good for Paltrow Daily. Where are they? Let's Paltrow Daily, if you're listening, let's have you on the pod. I don't know who you are.
We should. We should have been doing the work. Paltrow. I do feel like we should have more like Gwyneth like fan people on the pod.
Sure.
Because as I've been saying for the last 2 weeks and telling anyone who I will admit that I do this to, this is a Gwyneth Paltrow fan podcast.
It absolutely is. Everyone knows that by now, or they should. Mm-hmm. All right. What would you try?
Oh, definitely. This is like also maybe I should just say bye, but like this is definitely the Wake Up Your Skin kit. This was also one of Gwyneth's faves, which was like kind of an annoying article because everything on it was sort of expensive. Like usually there's like some cheap. Oh, I guess they have that Kosas. There's like a lipstick set for like $25, but like pretty much everything else on here is like at least $100, which I just it's like, can't you throw us a bone and just like give us some like cheap stuff, but whatever. Yeah. But the Goop Beauty Wake Up Your Skin kit is $82.80 and it's on sale. And it has one of their glow bombs, which I've always wanted, the eye brightening kit, which is another one that I've wanted. And what else does it come with? Oh, is that it? It's just this.
I thought a kit is a stretch.
A kit. So is it a kit? I don't know. Because the picture of it, it looks like there's three things. But it's not. It's just two. But I still want both of them. Like, I like these two. These are two good products. Like,
yeah, yeah. And that's all you need. I mean, because they could, you know, throw a third thing in there, but what would it even be?
I don't know. But then, I mean, like, are each of these things individually serious? Like, how? So you for $100, you get two tiny tubs of shit. I mean, give me a break. It's cheaper. Wait a second. There must be a third thing in here because the Glow Bomb on its own is $34. And the eye cream is, oh, that's where you get the deal. It's $58.
Okay. Well, 58 plus 34 is.
What is that?
It's 30. What is, say it again in my brain.
It's 58 plus 34.
92, right? Yeah.
92. Okay. So I guess if you do it while it's on sale, you get a little discount, but the full retail is 92. So it's really just like those two things. Like it's not, like, I mean, I don't know. It's just like you buy those two things.
They'll get you. I'm going to do a little casual cheese plate for my Thanksgiving appetizers. Mm-hmm. And I went to the Instagram page of the cheese store that I like to go to. And they were like, oh, get your cheese plates here or pre-order them, $150. And I was like, fuck, I don't want to spend that much on a cheese plate. And I'm like, what do they even have in it? It's 3 half pounds of cheese, and then, you know, you get your little dried apricots, your handful of nuts, your crackers and stuff. But I'm like, I could get like, that's that's crazy, because even a really nice pound of cheese from like a nice store is not going to be more than like $25-$30. So if you're getting three, I don't know, the math didn't add up. I was like, I'll make my own fucking cheese, but I'm not gonna get it.
Yeah, because you think you're getting a deal, but you're not.
And I'm already spending too much money on my pies, so I need to scrimp and save a little bit on my cheese.
God, I haven't even thought about Thanksgiving.
That's all I'm thinking about. I could do a whole Thanksgiving pod. Oh, actually, this leads into the thing I would try.
Oh.
It's Allison Roman just dropped a new stuffing recipe.
Hell yeah.
And I'm going to make it for Thanksgiving.
Nice.
It's really simple. It's maybe the first official published stuffing recipe I've ever seen that specifically uses sourdough bread, which is what my family always uses for stuffing. And maybe it's like a California thing, I guess. But I was like, oh, this is so cool that she's actually says to use sourdough bread, because I always substitute sourdough with whatever they tell you to do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
we always did that too. We would buy it, but we wouldn't buy it. I don't remember what they did. Probably that too.
Yeah, you get a good loaf of sourdough, you cut it up, you leave it, you know, out overnight to get it a little stale. And then this is just a simple, it's meatless. It's called buttered stuffing with celery and leeks.
Yeah.
So just very classic flavors. I guess the leeks make it a little fancy, but it's like pretty easy. And Allison said she's been recipe testing, and she's finally perfected it and unleashed it upon the world. So I'm quite excited.
Well, let me know how it turns out.
I will. I know my turkey recipe. I know my stuffing recipe now. I don't think I really need a recipe for mashed potatoes. I haven't quite decided on my vegetables yet. But then I'm also doing a mac and cheese.
Oh, and everyone's coming to your place.
Yeah, I'm hosting.
That's so wild.
It'll be fun.
That's exciting.
But it'll be small. It's just, five adults and two children. So, and they won't, the kids
That's
won't
a
eat
lot.
Anything.
That's a lot.
For Thanksgiving, it's pretty small.
Seven people? No, I'm saying for like your apartment.
Oh, yeah.
But
it'll be cozy.
That's great.
All right. What would you buy?
So I wouldn't actually buy the thing that I said I would buy because it's more money than I have, but I would buy the Marnie Sweetheart sheath dress, which is this pretty black dress that costs a lot of money. How much did it cost? Look, it's just, I'm not going to actually buy it, but there was this pretty ass, sorry, I have so many, I always have so many of these fucking things open. Look, it doesn't matter. The point is, it's expensive. I think it costs, let's say it costs $800.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And it's just like a black dress. I think it might be even more than that. So look, am I actually going to get it? No, but it was pretty. And if I could buy anything I wanted, I would buy that. But I can't, so I won't.
I just received some free shirts in the mail as one of the prizes I got from that game show that I was on earlier this year.
You got free shirts?
Yeah, like sometimes on those shows, it's like sponsored by something. So it'll be like, in addition to your regular prize, it's like you get a $250 gift certificate to this thing.
Mm.
And so they sent me one and I got they're really nice. I would never spend like $128 on a just regular short sleeve button down shirt. But I'm like, oh, maybe I should, because these are so nice.
I know. Sometimes they're really nice. Oh, mm-hmm. It's $2,600.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
It's crazy. And I was like, I wouldn't even spend $800, so it's never gonna happen, but it was nice.
Well, I would buy, you've already mentioned it today, but it's the 911 emergency balm for dry skin.
Yeah,
it's, I mean, your skin out here doesn't get quite as dry as it does in New York, but it's still getting bad. And I liked the fact that they say you can put it on your hands, you can put it on your lips, because I feel like for me the lips are the first thing to get dry and chapped.
Yeah, for sure.
Cuticles, elbows, it's like, I really,
yeah,
I just, am I gonna buy it? No, it's $125. I'm not gonna buy it, but I could.
You could always do Afterpay.
I could. I've like, that's sort like of buy weaned myself off my Afterpay habit. All right, guys.
All right, you guys. Well, thank you for listening. We love you. Sorry that we spent the entire first half of this talking about like what we wanted to be eating.
We should have eaten before the podcast.
We should have eaten before the podcast, but we didn't. So you got that.
You're getting us on fumes. But yeah, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for listening. And we will talk to you soon. All right. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.